Welcome to the Business as Unusual podcast by Rightway. This is a podcast focused on topics relevant to New Zealand business owners, with a real emphasis on providing practical ideas, tips and advice on how to move their business forward, especially in these challenging times. Today's guest is Shelley Dixon, who is the Regional Business Manager here at Rightway for the South Island and Wellington. For many years, Shelley worked at the BNZ in the commercial banking space and was with the bank when the Christchurch earthquakes took place in 2011. At the time, Shelley worked in the Lyttelton branch as a small business banker. Post the quake, she moved into a new role where she was directly working with business owners across Christchurch and has a unique perspective from that experience of what got businesses through this terrible situation. Today, we discuss what we can learn from the Christchurch earthquakes and what are the similarities with what business owners face today with the COVID-19 pandemic. Shelley is very open about her experience, and for some people who were involved in the quakes may bring back some bad memories, so just a word of warning. This is a slightly different theme for the podcast, but we hope you enjoy it. If you do, please subscribe on the channel or platform that you're listening to this podcast, and make sure you check out all our social media channels to keep up to date with the latest news and content from Rightway. Morning, Shells, and welcome back to the podcast.
Good morning, Stu. Nice to be back.
Great to have you here. So today we're talking about similarities to the Christchurch earthquakes to what we're experiencing now. And I think, you know, I normally on the podcast do an intro to the guest, but I think this time it'd be really good if you explain your own words what your role was during the Christchurch earthquakes, so that we've got really good context about why you're a great person to speak to today on this subject.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Hey, so I guess back in the first earthquake, so in September, I worked for BNZ in the Lyttelton branch. I was a small business manager. The September earthquake was sudden. It was a shock. No one was prepared. We didn't expect it. We didn't understand really what was going to happen to us next. The outcome of that earthquake was obviously that it was nowhere near as severe as what was coming for us. So in the immediate hours as that was unfolding, I remember quite clearly we had students living with us at the time. So both of my girls were at high school, and we had students living with us. The students were from Korea, didn't seem to be bothered about the house shaking. We lived in a two-story house. It was actually quite freaky, to be honest, that they wouldn't get up and get out of bed and come downstairs when the rest of us were freaking out. But I guess as the day unfolded and the light hit the city, the damage was minimal in comparison. So people just carried on, I guess, as per normal. Maybe some things changed. Maybe we stocked up on things that we didn't think we'd need. And then, of course, February happened. And look, I remember the day of the February earthquake so, so vividly still in my mind, because still worked at Lyttelton. And I remember driving up, those people that are listening to the podcast that know Christchurch well, driving up to the Lyttelton Tunnel. And to the left before I went in the tunnel was all these army tanks and all these people in camo gear that worked for the army. Now, they were on an exercise, which in hindsight was quite fortuitous for the people of Lyttelton at the time. And I remember ringing my husband when I got there and said, "Whoa, you'll never guess what I just saw," because like that's just not a normal thing, right? And in the harbour was a Navy ship, so that was quite exciting. And then, look, the day just carried on as per normal. I went for my lunch and went for a wee walk, which I normally did, went upstairs. So it was a two-story branch, quite an old building, the BNZ in Lyttelton. And I remember sitting down to have my lunch, and all of a sudden things happened really in slow motion for me. So the apple that was in my hand, sounds really weird, just went into the ear. And I was like, this is quite bizarre. The phone in my other hand went somewhere else. And then the whole building started to shake. So for me, it was hugely frightening at the time. The ceiling and roof of the bank started to cave in. It was a very old building, so the stairs are swaying. Our manager wasn't on site. She'd gone off to Lynwood to do some jobs. And so there was three of us in that branch trying to get everybody out. And then when we actually got outside, the whole scene was just so horrific and bizarre. I've never seen anything like that in my life. Across the road from us was a fantastic coffee shop. The poor barista in there had the hot water cylinder fall on his back, so his back was all burnt. There was a woman trying to give birth in the street because she had just gone into labor. And I remember the things that happened seemed to happen in very slow motion. So you would walk so far and then there would be another shake and some, building parts would come down and then the water coming up from the ground. It was really freaky because I'd lost my phone in the bank. I didn't know how bad it was anywhere else in town. That was quite frightening. But also my job as 2IC was to make sure that the safe was locked. Now, that's really weird trying to go back in and out. The army were fantastic. We couldn't close the safe in the end, and because there was a hole in the roof, they put guards at the top and the bottom for us, which was great. From there, we went to one of our colleagues' houses who lived in Littleton and stayed there for a while until we were able to drive back home. So the army took us back in and got our bags out so that we could get our keys. The drive home for me was absolutely frightening because I'd come down Dyers Pass Road, which is quite a windy road, and I'd never driven that before. And everybody had somebody else in a car with them, and I felt really, really alone. That's when you realize how important your phone and your lifeline to your family are. My work colleague had been able to get a message to Jason to say that I was fine and that I was leaving to drive home. I only got my car so far, and then I had to dump it and walk the rest of the way due to just the liquefaction and all of that sort of stuff. And I remember at the time dropping the car and walking in high heels, a bank uniform, thinking, actually, I have no idea what my house looks like at home.
Yeah.
And there were severely damaged houses on the way. So the whole time you're thinking, how are my children? How's my husband? How are my animals? How's my house? Do we have something to live in? Thankfully for me, when I got home, all my family was safe. My house was okay. My animals were safe. Obviously, same as everybody else, no hot water, no anything. So from there, I guess my role at the bank, and look, I have to say my own experience was pushed right to the back of my whole being, because my existence was about looking after other people, being strong for my own family, being strong for my children. One of my children had spent 2 hours in the car crying, not getting out, wanting my husband to come and find me because she was paranoid that something had gone wrong. So everybody is experiencing it in their own way, I guess. But for me, going back to work was all about the recovery now of my customers. So we pretty much went back to work at Littleton within a couple of days. The bank was a phenomenal employer. They did everything they could for their employees, which was great. Going back through the tunnel was frightening because I just thought, actually, if something happens, I'm stuck and I can't get out. But I guess then the grief of other people started for me. So you have your customers come in that once again have experienced their own trauma in their own way, elderly people that had lost everything, businesses that could no longer trade in Littleton because no one could come there. That is hard because you're trying to help those people reestablish what is normal, I guess, and there is no normal. A lot of the business owners in Littleton actually lived there, so the likelihood of their business and their homes being affected was rather high on the scale. I guess at the same time, within the city was complete carnage and chaos. People were losing their lives. People, bodies were being discovered and earthquakes kept happening. That's really hard to live through all of that on a day-to-day basis and I guess be strong, because my job for the bank was to support those people and help them get through. So one of the things that BNZ did is gave us some little noddy wagons, I called them, little VW Volkswagen type van things, and we were able to be rapid response small business managers and go out to businesses in seriously affected areas and offer them some sort of facility to help them get through and trade. Now, that that for me is one of the best things the bank did at that time, because these people largely were not our customers, but they just needed some help and support to get through. And the fact that it was so simple, you could have a conversation with me, sign a document, and it was done, and the money was there the next day to try and help rebuild whatever you could. So that was really good. Look, for me, the things that I learned through that is actually, as people, we are hugely, hugely resilient, but we have to make sure that we look after ourselves when all of that sort of trauma is going on. And I think what we did during the earthquake largely is we buried all of that really deep. So we ran on adrenaline. We helped our colleagues beside us, our neighbours, anybody that we could, but we forgot about ourselves. And I think that's something that we should all learn from that. My career with the bank continued, and then the Kaikoura earthquakes happened. So for me, when the Kaikoura earthquakes happened, there had been a lot of things that personally I had put in place for Christchurch that actually was able to help me and help my clients more, I think, in the Kaikoura earthquake. So once again, very, very tragic circumstances, but I guess for businesses, there is some synergy here. In the earthquakes, there was massive disruption. There was carnage. There was lives lost. There was businesses that could not trade. But the flip side of that, there were also businesses that could thrive in that situation. Mm-hmm. And that's the unfortunate thing of any sort of tragedy, isn't it? There is a pro and con on either side, I guess. And for us with COVID, I guess the similarities that I draw is while we were aware we were going into lockdown, the whole thing overall was very sudden. The world around us essentially is on fire, right, when that's happening. So we're hearing about all of these cases in Korea or Spain or Italy, and you have no idea the impact on your own country, on your own family. Your path forward is largely unknown. What does that even look like? Those similarities existed back then, and they are kind of the same now. So for me, I guess the similar process is business owners in COVID have lost their livelihoods. Some people, unfortunately, have been unable to survive this. Likewise, there's several employees on a daily basis we hear about it that have lost their jobs. So for those individuals, I believe there is a grief process that people are going through right now. And if I could say one thing to anybody that's listening out there, everybody's experience is their own. So please be kind. Please be a little bit more patient than you used to be yesterday, because everyone's going through their own things. And I think as humans, we forget that the other person on the other side could be dealing with things completely different from us. And that's actually okay. However we cope through this is actually okay. It's more about us. So, those are kind of the similarities that I have drawn, I guess. Mm. Conversations with business owners are very similar. Obviously, the tragedy of lives lost is not there to the same extent. We have lost lives with COVID. Let's not forget that people have passed away from this virus, which is incredibly sad. But the level or the number, I guess, is not as high. But businesses don't know how to change. They don't know what's ahead of them. Like we're thinking about moving to level one. That still doesn't change the fact that someone from the States can't come and visit us and bring their money here. So for the tourism industry, my heart goes out to you incredibly at this time. And I do hope all of New Zealand do as much as they can. Having said that, there will still be some New Zealanders now that are still fearful of what COVID could potentially bring us. So I guess that's what I mean. Our experiences are our own.
Yeah. And I guess, Shells, you talked about the similarities is kind of the suddenness. And I think in some ways the mental struggle with this is it's the uncontrollable as well. Like, you know, it's not from our own fault or business owner's fault of why their business operation, whether it's Christchurch with earthquake or COVID-19, that's something that is completely on a completely different scale. If we move forward into, you know, our post the earthquakes, and I guess once you got into a few months in and looking at that journey out, what did you notice with business owners on, and maybe we'll start on a sort of mental side, I think, how did they, ones that sort of dealt with it well versus, you know, felt that this was the world ending, like, How did they approach things differently, which then led to them potentially being successful versus not being successful? And I guess that's very hard if, you know, you've lost your shop or your staff have been affected. Like, but what? How did business owners start to put some building blocks in place to move themselves forward, even in these really adverse circumstances?
I think the thing for me that the successful businesses, and let's just be fair, success doesn't mean that they still traded, okay? So the people that were able to deal with the new normal that we keep saying, very similar in earthquake situations, were very open with where they are at. And I think as a banker at that time, customers coming to me and saying, okay, this is where I'm at. This is the number of employees that I have. This is actually what I'm thinking I can or can't do. How can the bank support me through this? People that can be agile, flexible, pivot quickly, probably were more successful, to be honest. But I think the openness and being very, very candid about your position can help you in these times, because the banks are largely there to support. Like, they are aware of the trauma that people are going through. They are aware of people losing their jobs. It's in the media every single day. They're aware of the businesses that are unable to trade, whether it be tourism because they can't get the tourists back. So the banks do want to help, but it is important to go with some sort of pre-thought out plan, whether it's a good one or not is irrelevant, but just thinking about how you could move forward. If you can't move forward, actually, what does that mean? What have you thought about that you could do when you can't move forward? So recently I was in a meeting with a liquidator, and the liquidator kind of said, look, you know, I'm having lots of conversations with people at the moment, just wanting to understand what is the best option for them out there. Do we liquidate? Do we try and trade through? If we get the second round of wage subsidy and we can't push past that, what does that actually mean for us? Likewise, if we apply for the business loan, you've got to tick that you're a viable business. In the here and now, I think that I can be viable, but actually the forward path is still largely unknown, right? Mm. So I think having the conversations with the people that you trust around you, and look, they have to be the bankers, they have to be your accountants, they have to be your lawyers if there's a legal channel involved, your HR specialists, like trusting those people to be quite open about where you're at is really, really important. I think if I reflect on the Kaikoura earthquake, because Kaikoura is largely a tourist town, I did look after a few tourism operators there. And those people all put products online to try and get sales online. So if you think about, let's just say, a charter company, for argument's sake, there'd be lots of pre-bookings for those people. If you have to refund all those people, very similar to what's in the media with Air New Zealand at the moment, that has a huge impact, right, on your cash flow. So how do you refund and do what's right but ensure that you can still employ 50 people tomorrow? Yeah. So a lot of those people didn't have online sales channels prior to the Kaikoura earthquake, and that is how some of those businesses survived, by just going online, selling their products online, reaching out to people. A lot of them did collaborative approaches to things, which if you're, I know that you had Anna on talking about Rotorua, like if you can do things in conjunction with other operators, then potentially there's some gain that you can see there. But I think my message is you need to be open and you need to talk to people. And dare I say it, Stu, guys are not really very good at opening up. And so my message for all the men.
No idea what you mean.
For all the men out there is actually have a little bit of faith. Have a little bit of faith that if you actually share a little, the result would be better. There is no point, honestly, at this time in burying your head in the sand and thinking things will be okay. If you're struggling, you need to talk to someone, whether that's mentally struggling because this has been really hard for you. And let's be honest, we're probably all sick of the people that we spent lockdown with and would like to go out there and see some new people. Whether it's mental, whether it's business related, whether it's employment related, actually just talk to somebody, reach out to one of those people, have a conversation, start exploring what options you could have. I think the country as a whole, if you look at what hospitality has done, they've albeit their sales are still well below what they would be, they have adapted to the new normal. You know, they have been agile and flexible enough to be able to meet some of those level two requirements. So how could your business potentially do the same is my question out there. I do think probably, to be honest, we have to be better prepared for the forward path, because let's face it, none of us sitting here today know what the forward path looks like. So if you are able to trade at the moment and you're just break even, it's great that you're break even, but how do you just escalate it a little bit more to put some money aside for what could come next? I think I was talking to someone yesterday who's a hairdresser, and thinking those poor hairdressers with all of those queue of people waiting for their haircuts, and women like me that didn't like God's glitter in their hair, right? And there's a massive impact, a massive influx of people wanting their hair done. That's kind of over time will ebb and flow a little bit too, I think, because yes, maybe women would go every 5 or 6 weeks. Maybe we won't do that now because we've been in lockdown for 8. We might stretch it out a bit. So some of those things, subtle but key for hairdressers, may change. So being prepared for that, I think, is a good thing.
I just think to pick up a couple of your points there, Shell, there was a couple of streams I'd want to take from that. So I know, speaking with David Shaw, so and for all the listeners, David's our sort of senior agribusiness consultant, and DJ talks about the fact that, especially in the farming community, there is an old adage that if I just work harder, I'll get a better result. And as DJ says, that often is actually the worst thing people can do, because that you're at some point you need to stand back and actually look at what's going on, and mentally it's not great for you as well, and other things. So I guess while for us, everyone who's listening, we're on the verge of hopefully level one being announced next week. And when you listen to this, we might be in level one. There is already a sense of, I think people think we are back to normal as such, whatever normal is, I suppose. But for me, I'm very conscious that a lot of business owners will go, cool, my store's open, my business is open fully now, I'll be fine, and I'll just work really hard. That's not going to necessarily solve any underlying issues that may have been caused about from COVID-19 or that you may have been taking in beforehand. Like you just talked about there, Shells, that with the Christchurch earthquakes and Kaikoura, there was obviously businesses that really thought differently about how they conduct business and have probably come out even stronger through that event. So how do you think, what's your advice to business owners on how they start that process? Because I think in some ways you're right, there is a massive opportunity here for businesses to come out stronger, you know, really strong. I was listening to a podcast that recently, Business Wars, I'll put in the show links, really good. And it was talking about Southwest Airlines in the States, and they plan for every 10 years, there'll be 2 economic downturns. So they budget according to that so they can get through it. And at the moment, they're actually going okay. So talk through, Shells, how do you think business owners can actually start that process? And how would you challenge them to actually think a bit differently about their business with the environment we're in?
Yeah, look, I think first of all, you can't work harder. And you actually just cannot. Like, while we are talking about the Christchurch earthquakes here, Christchurch in itself, Kaikoura, has been through so much. If you are going to attempt to work harder, you're actually going to kind of push yourself further mentally into the big black hole, is what I actually feel. So I think for me it is about working smarter with what you have, not harder. So I was looking online actually the other day. So obviously when hospitality could open, first of all, there was takeaways, right? You could order your takeaways online and you could go and pick them up. That was kind of step one. Now, if that worked for your business, why would you cease doing it? So if the change gave you some income that you wouldn't have normally got, then I challenge you to keep it there. And I saw a local restaurant, I live in Rolleston, that actually did do that. And they have put a post up there to say, actually, we're going to keep the takeaways. Now, this wasn't a takeaway place before. It was a restaurant and bar. But they obviously have now a following of people that like to do that. And I think, look, for me, I don't know about you, Stu, but I haven't sat in a restaurant since we've got into level two and had a meal. I have ordered takeaways. Now, for all the hospitality people out there, this is how you have to, I guess, change, implement, develop your business to cater for people. do I still feel a little bit fearful about sitting in a restaurant? Let's be honest. Probably, yes, I do. But I want to support the local people. And for me, I know, and don't take this the wrong way, but I know the hygiene in my own house, and I know the people that have been in my own house that, and what I've been doing. The people outside of my wee bubble are largely unknown to me. So I think if you have implemented takeaways of some sort, then you keep the takeaways going, because that is another income stream that potentially you didn't have before, if it's working for you and you can embed it into your business going forward and make sure that you can obviously deliver on a timely fashion, then you should just sustain those sorts of things. I think the other thing is what is your competitors doing in your local market? So if you think we normally have hospitality businesses or car yards, for argument's sake, let's use car yards for a minute, in the same vicinity, because that's how we buy as humans, what's the competitor next door doing? Like, how are they bringing people into their business? What's their catch? I mean, don't do the same thing, obviously, but what are they using to try and get in there? And get customers in the door. The other thing for me, and I really firmly believe this, is marketing right now is the lifeblood of your business. If you are not marketing your business, and I know everyone out there will be saying, Shells, we don't have the money right now. It's almost like life insurance, okay? So, you know, with every tragic or traumatic situation, we begrudgingly play life insurance on a monthly basis, right? And think, ugh, paying all this money to this insurance company and it will never, ever have an impact on me. I guess the thing that also the bank taught me is there are people out there that pay for life insurance that suffer some sort of tragedy that actually get to live the balance of their life doing what they want because they had their insurance in place. Yeah. Your marketing for your business is exactly the same as that. So marketing for me right now is a non-negotiable spend, because how you get your business out there in front of people, and look, we've got people that are completely at opposite ends of the spectrum. You've got people that actually will, I don't know, go to a concert tomorrow if we had a concert going here, and you've got people at the other end that maybe are in the high risk bracket, elderly like my parents, that won't actually go out just yet. They're just not 100% sure. Gatherings of 100 have given them heightened risk, if that makes sense. So how do you cater for that spectrum and maximize your money? You will be good at what your core job is. So if you're a builder, you're good at smashing out great houses, but it would be fair to say you're probably crap at marketing. So if that's the case, find somebody in that arena that can actually help you restore your lifeblood of your business. For me, that is really key. It is so, so important in the here and now, because the world is changing. There will be businesses potentially like ours, Stu. Like, we, you know, largely our workforce that whole time worked from home. Will that change how we conduct our business in the future? Quite probably it will, because there's been some efficiencies gained from that. There'll be other businesses out there in completely different industries that have found the same thing. So how do you reach your target market? Marketing can help you do that. And that's one thing that I think all of the businesses don't work harder, work smarter, and working smarter means you market some more and you market to those channels.
Yeah. And I think just picking up on your point around that, the hospo business is, there is no doubt that some of the businesses that we've worked through through COVID, the ones that I think are come through well as can be, you could argue, but there is definitely a theme that they've had a bit of a diversification in their business. They've got multiple sales channels. And I think the one business, this business that struggle that have only one pronged approach or one market, I think is where they really need to think that they may have come through okay, but there's no doubt when you've got options on how you can deliver your product or service to market, whether that's the really simple example of hospo by doing takeaway, you're right. Why cut that off? Because it's a different way. Like, people, as you said, Shells, are not all going to go and just flock back through, but still want meals. And I've seen restaurants that do pre-prepared meals, which you can then put in the freezer. Like, there is different ways, because at the end of the day, you are putting capital, which into your lease, into your staff, and your goal as a business owner is to maximize the output revenue from that capital. And if you literally have a model which is, people come in and I sit down, that is one way of doing business, and it's only one way of maximizing that capital spend. So I think that's really, really interesting. And I think the other thing I think that the lessons to learn a little bit is, and Darren, who's CEO from Yellow, talked about this our last podcast. One thing they're looking at Yellow is how do they're talking about some of their staff aspects moving to more some of their functions being in the contractor space, because they can ramp that up and ramp that down. And he said that might be more expensive, but then I know I've also got, I can control that. And so I think, again, it's just people looking at their businesses a little bit differently, you know, and getting stronger at this. And I think your final point about marketing is really valid, because this is the time to go out there and win new customers. It's not just about consolidating. I think there's a big message for business owner is the status quo of just flatline, oh, I'll try and maintain. And you may finish the year on down, but you have to get out there and try and win new business, because your current clients will be suffering, whether that's a hospo business that some people are staying at home now or whatever. But I think there's some really powerful message around that. And Mike Stokes, Growing Your Revenue podcast, which is about 3 or 4 weeks ago, covers a lot with that, so which is really, really good. I guess, Shells, just to wrap up, I guess any final, I guess, messages, themes, like, I guess, yeah, for you, what were the sort of, say, I don't know, top three, whatever points of the businesses that came out of Christchurch really well, what did they do better than other businesses? And I guess there is some circumstantial stuff there that they might have just been in a better location than others, but what were the themes of people that did things well and got through?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to, I am going to go back to be open, talk to the people around you, and actually have some difficult conversations, because you're right, there were some businesses, because of location, like if we think about divisions and where people have been affected, if you're a hospitality business and everything around you is closing, you're therefore not a destination anymore, right? You're sitting out on a limb on your own. So I think it is about talking to people. It is about being open about where you are currently at and how you see a path forward, whatever that means, whether that's I'm in business right now and my path forward is, like you say, I'm going to go from an employee model to contractors because actually the strain on my cash flow will not be as great. Yep, I'll have to clear out their holiday pay, but going forward, a contractor should cover their own costs and earn me some money, whatever that happens to be. I think talking and engaging the people around you that support your business early is really important. So if you haven't had conversations yet with your bank, you need to make that a top priority. If you haven't had conversations with your accountants about your business, then those two are the top priorities out of this for me. Because let's be honest, the stuff that is out in the market available for business owners at the moment, I urge you, all the business owners out there, to be really cautious about what you're applying for. Don't apply for the second round of wage subsidy if your turnover is not below 50% of what it was last year. You're putting yourself in huge risk. We saw the first round eventually got audited, all the money got dished out, and then there was an audit trail. That will happen again. We are not a country that's flush in cash. Secondly, this small business loan, once again, there's criteria with that. So please, please use your trusted advisors before you go and apply and tick a whole heap of boxes without understanding what that actually means for you. I think your cash flow at the moment is key. Whatever your business is, what does that look like over the coming weeks? How do you get where you are from zero turnover in lockdown, you know, and build up over time? What does that actually mean for you? Those conversations are really important right now, and they have to happen. And in order for them to happen, you have to have a really open, frank conversation with those people around what that means. You are not alone. That's my biggest message to everyone listening to the podcast out there. No one is alone in this situation. You just need to reach out and ask for help. And asking for help is not failure. Asking for help is actually doing what's right to ensure that your business is sustainable and you yourself, mental health wise, are sustainable going forward, because the businesses out there without the key personnel in them will not be able to survive if you don't look after yourself and you don't rely on the support around you. Once again, don't think that the bank's your enemy, because in this situation, the banks are not your enemy. And I just want to talk very, very quickly before we wrap up, because I'm conscious of time, that the government-backed loan If you applied for that and the bank didn't give it to you, there's probably a really good reason for that. If you applied prior to COVID and you didn't get lending, unfortunately, the bank cannot give it to you just because it's government backed. You know, if your business was insolvent prior to COVID, like now you've really got to look at how you change, adapt. Maybe you shut the existing company down and you start something new. Like those conversations, they are hard, they're tough, but they need to happen because there is no point in sitting back and waiting for the house of cards to fall when you can have some impact on it now. So I guess those are my key messages. There are people out there to support you and help you. You just need to ask.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing, you know, a very personal story today, Shells, and also your experience through Christchurch and how, and I guess also experience of working with business owners at the moment. So thanks very much for your time today on the podcast.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Business Isn't Usual podcast by Rightway. If you want to find out more information about Rightway, simply go to www.rightway.co.nz. If you want to subscribe, please do that on the platform that you're listening to this podcast. And while you're there, please feel free to give us a review. If you want to keep up to date with other information from Rightway, check out the Rightway Business Hub Facebook group, where there's ongoing information posted weekly. Also, check out all our other social media channels for all the updates from Rightway.